Hello there, Cameron.
Morning, Catherine.
So this virus has been around for decades now. Why hasn't it really been considered a threat until now?
Yeah, we've known about Zika virus for almost 70 years, and one of the reasons why it probably hasn't been in the spotlight is that, for the most part, infection with the virus causes a very mild illness. So you get fever, rash, joint pain, sometimes sore red eyes. And the thing is that we've seen cases throughout Asia and Africa, but it's often overshadowed both in terms of the severity of the health impacts and also it's the total number of cases when you compare it to other mosquito-borne diseases such as dengue or malaria or even the illness caused by chikungunya virus. So it's really kind of flown under the radar to some extent, and it's really only been the recent outbreak across the Pacific and then particularly in the last 6 months, the introduction and rise in cases in the Americas that really has health authorities across the world on alert.
So I guess if you've been bitten and suddenly you've got a rash and you've got itchy eyes or whatever, how do you know it's the Zika virus and not something else, some other random tropical bug?
Yeah, that's one of the difficulties, is because for the most part, the symptoms are very similar to other mosquito-borne viruses like dengue or chikungunya virus, or even to some extent our local Ross River virus. The only way that you can confirm infection is by having a blood test. That's the only way you can confirm infection. You can't tell for certainty based on the symptoms. And one of the problems too in association with these Zika virus is that we think that probably only one in five people who are infected actually develop symptoms. So again, the amount of people being infected with this virus, particularly in the Americas at the moment, is probably quite phenomenal.
So does that mean that there are people, you know, four out of five have some kind of natural immunity?
Yeah, we don't really know how they're sort of reacting to the virus. We see this again in a lot of mosquito-borne viruses. Some people develop symptoms, and even those that do develop symptoms, the severity of them can vary quite greatly. I guess the important thing for us to remember is that you know, the impact of these viruses in these areas can be much more widespread than we otherwise think. And it's sort of a good lesson for us, I guess, in terms of the introduction of these viruses into these new parts of the world. And particularly in the case of Zika, the identification of the potential link with these, with microcephaly and these more severe symptoms, which are really sort of coming out of the blue to some extent.
What about these Aussie athletes of ours that are planning to head to the Rio Olympics? It has been listed as a transmission zone. Is this something that should be enough to perhaps make them think twice?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of issues to consider in relation to some of the recent travel advisories about you know, visiting some of these countries that are experiencing the Zika outbreak. First and foremost, a lot of the warnings are focusing on pregnant women and women expecting to fall pregnant to try to delay travel if possible to these areas, at least until there's a more definitive link between Zika virus and potential birth defects. But beyond that, anyone travelling to these regions has to be aware that there's annual activity of dengue and chikungunya viruses in these parts of the world, and you need to go prepared to avoid mosquito bites by taking repellent with you and sometimes just being mindful of those public health risks. When we're talking about the Olympics in a city like Rio, I guess some of the big facilities, accommodations and sporting venues, there's going to be a concerted effort from local authorities to use insecticides to dramatically reduce the populations of mosquitoes. And so in some respects, you might think that the greatest risk for people going to the Rio Olympics may be the sort of other travel they do, you know, outside of the main centres to some of the more regional areas of Brazil. But certainly they have to be mindful that there's a potential risk there.
Okay, I guess there's like a million things that we could be paranoid about when we go travelling, right? You know, there's many bugs out there and you can't really necessarily protect yourself from everything. You have to just work out what's sensible to do. I'm one of those people who tends to think, I don't really like using insecticides. You know, I just want to put on a bit of citronella and see how I go. Is it really effective against mosquitoes? Is that actually going to help? And there's all sorts of, you know, things flying around there about what actually stops mosquitoes from biting you, things like taking vitamin B, all sorts of things. But is there any evidence that those things work?
Yeah, look, there's a couple of things to mention there. I guess that, first of all, there's a lot of urban myths and kind of products available that suggest they protect you against mosquitoes, but they're not very effective. There is, first of all, there's nothing that you can eat or drink that will stop you being bitten by mosquitoes. Some of the mosquito repellent wristbands and bracelets and things like that that you see around, they don't offer sufficient protection. The gold standard for mosquito repellents are the topical formulations that contain either DEET or picaridin. And you don't need to go for a heavy-duty tropical strength formulation. Even some of the low-dose, even the like kid-friendly type repellents will provide you about 2 hours at minimum protection against biting mosquitoes if you put it on in a nice, even coverage over all exposed areas of skin. You know, these products are used by billions of people around the world, and we see very little, if any, adverse health effects about using mosquito repellents. So I think on balance, there should be no hesitation in using some of these products if you're traveling to the Americas or any of these other countries where the warnings have been issued. My only advice, there's two pieces of advice, though, associated with that. One is take repellents with you from Australia. We have a good regulatory system here in Australia. We know the repellents work and they're good formulations. You don't know, you can't be confident that what you'll buy in the stores over there will be to the same standard, or if they're available at all. The second thing is the mosquitoes that transmit Zika virus, as well as dengue and chikungunya virus, primarily bite during the day. So whereas in Sydney, we tend to put mosquito repellent on in the afternoon, when you're in Indonesia, the Pacific, or the Americas, you need to be putting it on in the morning, and that's going to provide the best protection against these biting mosquitoes.
All right. Well, we can only do our best and hope for the best, really, at the end of the day. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Catherine.